Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. American Airlines up 12% this week. That's not a dead cat bounce anymore.
No, that's a sector rotation. When American leads the charge and you've got Delta, United, Southwest all moving in lockstep, something fundamental shifted.
This week's narrative was the market pricing and margin expansion as fuel costs finally stabilized while demand held firm. We're seeing the first real evidence that airlines can defend pricing power even as operational pressures ease.
Right, and the timing lines up. TSA numbers this week hit 16.5 million passengers. That's up 4% year over year and almost 6% above the 3-year average. Demand is holding while the cost structure improves.
Operationally, this translates to higher load factors without the brutal fuel headwinds that crushed margins earlier this year. Airlines are getting the capacity utilization they need while input costs moderate.
For investors, this is the scenario we've been waiting for. Revenue momentum meeting cost discipline. The question is whether management teams will reinvest this margin relief or return it to shareholders.
The most important signal this week came from Southwest's billion-dollar credit facility expansion. That's not distress financing, that's strategic positioning.
Exactly. When Southwest adds debt capacity while the stock's rallying 6.5%, that's management seeing opportunities, not covering shortfalls.
Operationally, this gives them flexibility to accelerate fleet modernization or capacity additions without burning cash reserves during what could be a multi-quarter recovery.
For investors, it signals confidence in cash flow generation. You don't add term debt unless you're certain about your ability to service it. And Southwest just locked in 3-year money at attractive rates.
Let's walk through the numbers because this week's price action tells a clear story. TSA screened 16.5 million passengers this week, up 4.1% year over year and 5.7% above the 3-year average.
That demand strength is showing up in the stock prices. American led the pack, up 12% to nearly $14. Alaska jumped 10.5%, JetBlue up 10%.
Delta gained 8.5%, United up 8%, Southwest 6.5%. Even Frontier, trading at under $5, gained almost 7%.
Those aren't random moves. When legacy carriers, low-cost carriers, and ultra-low-cost carriers all move together, you're looking at sector-wide repricing.
The cargo names joined the party too. FedEx surged 6.5% to $3.94. UPS up almost 6%. That's the industrial recovery theme bleeding into transportation.
But here's what caught my attention. The divergence in suppliers. Honeywell up almost 5%, GE up 6%, but Hexcel down 3.5%.
That Hexcel move stands out because they're tied to both commercial and defense aerospace. When a supplier with that broad exposure drops while airlines rally, it suggests investors are getting more selective about which recovery plays they want.
Right, and the insider activity this week supported the airline thesis. We saw buying across multiple carriers, but Hexcel also had a director purchase around $86.
The defense names were mixed too. Kratos up 3.5%, Northrop barely moved, Lockheed flat. That's different from earlier this year when defense was the safe haven.
Boeing's still struggling, down almost 1% to 219. That's the one major aerospace name that couldn't participate in this week's rally.
What matters is the pattern underneath these individual moves. The market's starting to differentiate between operational leverage stories and balance sheet repair stories.
Exactly. The carriers with strong operational metrics and improving cost structures are getting rewarded. The ones still working through structural issues are getting left behind.
But the real story behind these numbers is margin expansion potential. When you see coordinated moves across airlines while fuel costs moderate, that's the market recognizing operating leverage.
The common pressure behind this coordinated move was the realization that Q2 earnings could show meaningful margin improvement. Load factors are solid, pricing is holding, and the biggest variable cost is stabilizing.
And the cargo surge tells you it's not just passenger demand. When FedEx and UPS both rally 6% in the same week, that's industrial demand supporting the broader transportation recovery.
The more important signal is whether this is sustainable. A one-week rally doesn't make a cycle, but the breadth of the move suggests institutions are repositioning for something bigger than just a quarterly earnings beat.
Our first supporting signal this week is margin structure advantage converging with demand recovery. And this is where you really see the operational leverage story playing out in real time.
I'm seeing something more nuanced here, Sarah. Yes, we're getting margin expansion, but I think you're missing the most important piece. The market's finally recognizing that airlines have fundamentally restructured their cost bases since the pandemic.
That's exactly my point, though. Look at Southwest's credit facility expansion to $1.5 billion. They're not borrowing because they need liquidity. They're positioning for growth while costs are still manageable. That's margin expansion planning.
But here's where I think you're getting ahead of yourself. Southwest's term loan arrangement matures in March 2029. That's not growth capital, that's refinancing strategy. They're taking advantage of current credit conditions to lock in favorable rates.
Mike, when you expand an existing facility by $1 billion, that's not refinancing. That's incremental capital for deployment. The original facility was $500 million. Now it's $1.5 billion. That's 300% expansion.
Fair point, but look at the structure. It's secured by specific aircraft and related assets with minimum collateral ratios. This is asset-based financing, which suggests they're monetizing their fleet rather than betting on margin expansion.
Actually, that asset-based structure supports my thesis. When you can pledge aircraft as collateral at attractive rates, it means your asset values are stable and your cash flow coverage is strong. That's exactly what you'd expect when operational margins are improving.
Okay, I'll give you that the collateral structure is a positive signal, but let's look at the broader picture. TSA numbers up 4% year over year sounds good, but that's decelerating from earlier peaks this year. Are we really seeing demand acceleration?
You're looking at the wrong baseline. Yes, 4% year over year might be slower than some previous periods, but we're now 5.7% above the 3-year average. That means we're not just recovering, we're exceeding pre-pandemic normalized levels.
That's a better way to frame it. When you're beating 3-year averages by almost 6%, you're talking about genuine demand strength, not just recovery math.
Exactly. And here's where the margin story gets compelling. Airlines built their cost structures assuming lower load factors and higher fuel costs. Now they're getting higher utilization with moderating fuel expenses. That's pure operational leverage.
The fuel cost piece is critical because it's the one variable that management can't really control. When you see coordinated moves across American, Delta, United, Southwest, all up 6 to 12%, that's the market pricing in fuel cost relief hitting similar cost structures.
And look at the cargo confirmation. FedEx up 6.6%, UPS up 5.7%. That's not just passenger demand, that's industrial demand supporting the broader aviation recovery theme.
But here's what I'm watching closely, the supplier divergence. You mentioned Hexcel down 3.5%, while Honeywell and GE rallied. That suggests the market's being selective about which parts of the aerospace value chain benefit from this margin expansion.
That Hexcel move actually supports the airline thesis. When a diversified supplier drops while airlines rally, it means investors are focusing on direct beneficiaries rather than just playing the whole sector. They want pure play operational leverage.
That's a sophisticated read. So you're saying the supplier divergence is actually validation that this isn't just broad aerospace optimism. It's specific to airline operating metrics.
Exactly. The market's differentiating between companies that benefit from margin expansion through operational leverage versus those that benefit from increased aerospace spending. Right now, operational leverage is winning.
I'm coming around to your thesis, but I want to push back on one piece. American up 12% from 1236 to 1385. That's a carrier that's had significant structural challenges. Is this really margin expansion? Or just mean reversion from oversold levels?
Both can be true. American's been trading below book value for months, despite decent operational metrics. But when it leads the sector rally, that tells you institutions are betting on margin recovery, not just technical bounces.
The breadth of the move is what convinces me you're right about the structural thesis. When you get JetBlue up 10%, Delta up 8%, and even ultra-low-cost Frontier up 7%, that's not stock-specific. That's sector-wide repricing based on fundamental expectations.
And the timing matters. This isn't happening in isolation. It's happening as Q2 earnings approach. The market's positioning for results that show this operational leverage translating to actual margin improvement.
So your supporting signal is that we're seeing the convergence of demand recovery with cost structure advantages that were built during the downturn, and the market's finally pricing in the operational leverage that creates.
That's exactly it. Airlines spent 2 years restructuring costs while demand was suppressed. Now demand's exceeding 3-year averages while those cost structures remain intact. That's margin expansion at scale.
The Southwest Credit Facility expansion becomes the perfect example. They're positioning for growth opportunities while maintaining the cost discipline that got them through the downturn. That's how you capitalize on margin structure advantages.
Right. And when you see that positioning across multiple carriers with different business models, legacy, low cost, ultra low cost, it suggests this margin expansion theme has legs beyond just one quarter. Our second supporting signal is asset monetization and balance sheet optimization. And I think we're seeing management teams position for a fundamentally different capital allocation environment.
I'm looking at the same data, but I'm not sure I see balance sheet optimization as the right frame. What I see is refinancing activity and routine corporate housekeeping rather than strategic repositioning.
Mike, you're missing the forest for the trees. FedEx calls roughly €355 million in 2031 notes for redemption on May 28th. That's not housekeeping. That's early debt retirement when rates are still attractive.
But FedEx is calling those notes at a premium, roughly €4 million above the outstanding balance once you include accrued interest. That suggests they had to retire the debt, not that they chose to.
Actually, look at the calculation methodology. The redemption price was the greater of par value or present value of remaining payments discounted at comparable government bond rates. If rates had moved against them significantly, that premium would be much higher.
Okay, so you're saying the modest premium indicates favorable rate environment for the call decision?
Exactly. When you can call 2031 debt in 2026 at roughly par plus accrued, that means your current cost of capital is materially below 1.3%. That's balance sheet optimization in real time.
I'll concede the FedEx call makes strategic sense. But what about the other activity? The Form 4 filings this week look pretty routine. Director compensation, family gifting, some insider selling.
You're right that the insider activity is mostly routine, but there's one purchase that stands out. Boeing director Tilden Bradley bought about 1,400 shares around $218.50. That's roughly $300,000 of insider buying at current market prices.
But Boeing's down almost 1% this week, while the rest of aerospace rallied. One director purchase doesn't override the market signal that Boeing's still facing structural headwinds.
True. But when you see insider buying at a company that's been under pressure, that's often early positioning ahead of balance sheet improvements. Bradley's timing might be anticipating better cash flow management.
Fair point, though I'm more interested in the patterns across the whole sector. What strikes me is how many companies are doing standard corporate maintenance, equity compensation, estate planning transfers, routine sales under trading plans.
That's actually my point. When management teams across the sector are focused on routine capital allocation rather than crisis management, that indicates they're past the balance sheet repair phase and into optimization mode.
I see what you're getting at. The fact that we're seeing normal course director compensation, planned insider sales, and strategic debt calls rather than emergency fundraising or forced asset sales, that's a sign of financial health normalization.
Exactly. And when you layer Southwest's billion-dollar credit facility expansion on top of that normalization, you get companies positioning for growth rather than managing survival.
The Southwest facility is interesting because it's secured by aircraft assets, which means they're using their fleet as collateral to access growth capital. That's classic asset monetization strategy.
Right, and the terms suggest confidence in cash flow generation. Term loans maturing in March 2029 with 3-day prepayment notice. That's management betting they'll have the cash flow to either service or refinance well before maturity.
But here's where I push back on your broader thesis. Is this really sector-wide balance sheet optimization, or is it just a few companies taking advantage of favorable credit conditions?
Look at the stock performance patterns. When you see broad-based rallies across airlines while credit facilities expand and debt gets retired early, that's the market recognizing improved capital efficiency across multiple business models.
The performance breadth is compelling. American up 12%, Alaska up 10.5%, JetBlue up 10%. But couldn't that just be demand recovery rather than balance sheet optimization?
Both themes work together. Better demand metrics improve cash flow generation, which enables better balance sheet management, which gives you more strategic flexibility. It's a reinforcing cycle.
I'm starting to see your supporting signal more clearly. You're arguing that we're seeing the transition from defensive balance sheet management to offensive capital allocation, and the market's pricing in that transition.
That's exactly right. Companies are moving from how do we survive to how do we optimize for growth. And when that happens across an entire sector simultaneously, you get the kind of coordinated rallies we saw this week.
The FedEx debt call becomes a perfect example of that transition. They're not calling debt because they have to. They're calling it because they can deploy that capital more efficiently elsewhere.
Right. And the Southwest credit expansion shows the other side. They're not borrowing because they need liquidity. They're borrowing because the structure gives management flexibility if opportunities emerge.
So your second supporting signal is that balance sheet optimization and asset monetization strategies indicate management confidence in sustainable cash flow generation and strategic flexibility.
Exactly. When companies start optimizing rather than just surviving, that's usually the early signal of a more durable recovery cycle. So we've talked about broad sector momentum, but there's one divergence that's worth dissecting. Is this cyclical positioning or structural differentiation? Let's take Southwest specifically.
I think Southwest's credit facility expansion is pure cyclical positioning. They're seeing demand recovery, TSA numbers up almost 6% above 3-year averages, and they want dry powder for when the cycle turns more definitively positive.
But Mike, I think you're underestimating the structural piece. Southwest has consistently maintained higher margins and better operational metrics than peers throughout this entire cycle. This isn't just cyclical recovery, it's structural competitive advantage being monetized.
Look, I'll give you that Southwest has operational advantages, but their stock's only up 6.5% this week versus American's 12%. If this was structural differentiation, Southwest should be leading, not lagging.
Actually, that price action supports the structural argument. Americans rallying from deeply oversold levels, they were trading below book value for months. Southwest is rallying from a position of relative strength, which is why the percentage gain is smaller.
But that's exactly my point about cyclical positioning. American has more operational leverage to a demand recovery because they've been more beaten down. Southwest's move is more measured because they never fell as far, which suggests their advantage is already priced in.
You're missing the capital allocation signal, though. When Southwest expands debt capacity by $1 billion while maintaining investment-grade characteristics, that's not cyclical opportunism. That's structural confidence in cash flow generation.
But every airline is seeing improving cash flows right now. TSA numbers are strong across the board. Fuel costs are moderating. Southwest's access to credit reflects the sector recovery, not company-specific structural advantages.
Here's where I disagree. Southwest's term loan facility is secured by aircraft at attractive collateral ratios. When you can pledge fleet assets at favorable terms while competitors struggle with balance sheet constraints, that indicates structural differentiation in asset quality and cash flow predictability.
I'll concede that Southwest's balance sheet flexibility is superior, but the broader question is whether their business model advantages are structural or whether other carriers are closing the gap through their own operational improvements.
The fact that Southwest is expanding capacity and financial flexibility simultaneously while maintaining margin discipline, that suggests their operational advantages are durable, not cyclical. They're not just riding the recovery, they're positioning to extend their competitive lead.
So the base case is mixed, cyclical recovery lifting all boats, but structural advantages allowing Southwest to position more aggressively for the next growth phase. But the key risk is that their capacity additions could pressure unit revenues if demand growth doesn't keep pace with supply increases.
Looking ahead, here's what we're watching. First, watch cargo demand indicators. FedEx and UPS both rallied 6% this week, so any industrial demand softening would contradict this transportation recovery narrative.
Second, watch fuel cost trends. Crude oil movements will either confirm or challenge the margin expansion thesis that's driving airline rallies. We need stable or declining fuel costs for this story to hold.
Third, watch TSA checkpoint numbers. We need continued demand strength above three-year averages. If passenger volumes retreat toward normalized levels, it undermines the operational leverage argument.
Fourth, watch Boeing's progress on production and delivery metrics. They were the one major aerospace name that couldn't participate in this week's rally. Any operational improvements could signal broader aerospace recovery beyond just airlines.
This week, the market repriced aviation from recovery trade to margin expansion theme. American up 12%, cargo names rallying 6%. That's institutional money positioning for sustained operational leverage.
The management behavior confirmed confidence in cash flow generation, Southwest expanding credit facilities, FedEx calling debt early. That's optimization, not survival mode.
Right, and the sector breadth matters. When legacy carriers, low-cost operators, and cargo companies all rally simultaneously, you're looking at fundamental repricing rather than stock-specific moves.
What we need to watch next is whether Q2 earnings validate this margin expansion thesis. TSA numbers are strong, fuel costs are moderating, but we need to see that translate to actual bottom-line improvement.
This week suggests aviation is transitioning from defensive positioning to growth positioning, signaling that investors are betting on sustainable operational leverage, which implies the next phase of the cycle rewards companies that can scale efficiently rather than just survive.
That's our show for this week. This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. Always do your own research before making investment decisions.
Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Want the inside track on aviation's biggest players? Aviation Intelligence Weekly brings you expert analysis of airline earnings, breaking industry news, and deep dive company histories. From American Airlines to Boeing, we cover the business of flight every week. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.